person who is sick and need blood, it can't be just any and any blood. It has to be a particular blood type. It kind of reminds me of the fact that this world is sick in sin. And we are in need, and it only can be remedied by blood. But it need a special blood type. Nowhere in the universe can that blood type be found but in Jesus. And so Jesus decided that he's going to come to fulfill his purpose, to win back the world that the devil has stolen. And so in Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it to be a robbery, to be equal with God, but made himself of what? No reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross." But when Jesus took on this task, you will think that he would be greeted with a grand gala, with great excitement. But when he came to his own, but his own received him not. The Bible said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. The religious leaders of the time, they conspired against him. The Romans, they crucified him. Judas betrayed him. Peter denied him. And the rest of the disciples, they forsook him. He was like a sheep led to the slaughter. But throughout this whole ordeal, or this whole time, remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he sweat drops of blood. Because what he was going through was so intense. He was taking on the sins of the world. And while he was going through all of this, it seems as if he was going it alone. And because he was bearing the sins of the world, the Father appeared not to be there. But there was a glimmer of hope for Jesus. When he was there hanging on the cross, there were what? Two thieves hanging out with him. Jesus had this amazing ability to draw people. Even when he was dying, he attracted two thieves. And so these two thieves were there hanging with him. And the Bible tells us in Luke 23, 39 to 43, it says, "Then one of the criminals who were hanged beside him saying, 'If you are the Christ, save yourself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him and saying, 'Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds? But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said to Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I said to you today, you will be with me in paradise.'" And I said, amen to that. The testimony of a thief. Now this thief, he brought some glimmer of hope to Jesus at the very point when he needed it. Because everyone forsook him. And if you remember that in the Old Testament, there was on the priest's robe two stones that they used to get God's approval or disapproval on a matter. And do you remember what those two stones are called? The Urim and the Thummim. Whenever the one on the right would light up, that will tell that God is approved. And whenever the one on the left will go dark, God's disapproval. And so this thief, I assume on the right, he lighted up. And this, I believe, to Jesus was an indication that his Father was approved of his sacrifice, and I said amen to that. And in every circumstances, God always have a witness. You remember the time when God was having this meeting with all the different beings of different parts of the world? And then the devil present himself, claiming that he represent earth. But God had a witness. God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And when Jesus was going about doing his healing, there was a centurion who came to him and said, "My servant is sick. Could you heal him?" And Jesus says, "Yes, I will come." The man says, "You don't have to come. Just say the word, and he will be healed." When Jesus heard that, Jesus marveled. How do you marvel a man like that? A man who calls things into existence. A man who calms the sea. A man who walks on water. How do you marvel him? Simple faith. Amen? Also, this thief, he confessed that he received his due reward. He confessed that he was wrong. So confession is a very important part of the salvation process. If we confess our sins, the Bible says, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Proper diagnosis is important for proper treatment. So if you can diagnose your true condition, then you'll get proper treatment. Amen? I remember one time earlier on in our relationship, Angela was feeling sick. And I took her to the doctor. They couldn't find out what was wrong with her. He gave her some medication. I think he thought it was gastroenteritis. It didn't help. Went to another doctor. He couldn't figure it out either. She was still sick. They could not diagnose the problem. And finally, we went to a third doctor, and then he found out that she was pregnant. When we have the proper diagnosis, you can get the proper treatment. Amen? Peter did not have a true diagnosis of himself. When Jesus told him that before the cock crow, you will deny me three times, he swore that he would not. He said he would fight. And he attempted to prove it by cutting off the ear of the servant of the high priest. But Peter did not have a proper diagnosis of himself. Peter was overconfident. Remember also the Bible told us of two men who went into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and one a publican. One prayed and shared with God all the good things about himself. How good he is, how much tithe he pay, and how much days he fast. And then the other man couldn't even as much as look up, but says, "God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Who do you think left more justified?" It was the one who had a proper diagnosis of his true condition. That's why in the book of Revelation, Jesus admonish Laodicea to buy of him gold tried in fire, white raiment, and eye salve. Eye salve is Holy Spirit power to give you the ability to detect sin under any disguise. Because sin can be tricky at times. And so this thief on the cross, he confessed that he was wrong. The other thief, on the other hand, was echoing what the crowd was saying. Come down and save us and save yourself. The testimony of this thief on the cross was a very powerful one. And it caused me to think that sometimes when I look at myself, I can't see how I'm going to be saved. But when I look at Jesus, I don't see how I'm going to be lost. Thank God for Jesus. This thief also did something that no other person could do. That no other person did. Peter succumbed to the interrogation of a servant girl. And he sweared with words that you may not find in the dictionary to prove that he did not know him. Judas gave in to his lust for money, and Pilate did not have the guts to stand up to the crowd. But this thief, he stood up for Jesus. This thief did something that we might seem to be light, but peer pressure is a very powerful thing. And when the whole crowd is saying the same thing and going one way, and you take the side of the opposite direction, it's not easy. It's real difficult. Ask Peter about it. Ask Pilate. Ask Judas. It is real difficult. They says that a dead fish will go with the flow, but it takes a live fish to swim against the current. This thief was like a live fish. When Jesus was healing the sick, and he was cleansing lepers, and he was making the blind see, he had a lot of friends then. Everybody wanted to be with him. The disciples argued about who would be the greatest, to the point where even a mother intervened on behalf of their children. And we know we mothers want good for our children, amen? Not we mothers, you mothers want good for our children, amen? And so these mothers want her two sons, one to be on the left and one to be on the right. That's a bold request. But were they willing to drink the cup that Jesus was about to drink? They all forsook him and they fled. It amazed me how they always arguing about who is the greatest. And when challenges come, they take off. Instead, they should be arguing about who is the fastest. So Jesus was vindicated by this thief when everyone else forsook him. But should Jesus bear the cross alone, we all must bear a cross too. Like the song says, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. This thief hung on to Jesus when everyone was letting him go. He hung on to Jesus at the most difficult time of his life. And sometimes in our life, when we go through difficulties, that is the time we need to pray. That is the time we need to hang on to Jesus. That is the time we need to call upon his name. Amen? It is not enough just to be Sabbath keeping, veggie eating, prophecy toting, sing and praise in Seventh-day Adventists. We are to be like Job after he lost everything. He says, naked I came into this world, and naked I shall return. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Please do not allow problems or situations or circumstances to have us to turn our backs on Jesus. Like this thief, even when the odds are against us, let us stand up for him. You see, one of the reasons why we shy away from standing up for truth or for Jesus at a time when the goings get rough is because we are trying to avoid persecution. But persecution or problems are not really a problem if it has a solution. And a problem that has a solution is an opportunity. For example, the Red Sea was a problem, but it became the solution. It made a pathway for them to go across, and it also destroyed their enemy. So whenever we are going through any tough situation and we are tempted to turn our backs upon Jesus, help us to remember this thief. While he was there hanging on the cross, he could have done what everyone did, but he stood up for Jesus and he vindicated his name. In the book of Romans, it says this: what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also make intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are all killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, yet in all these things we are what? We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, Paul says, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Let us all stand for Jesus, even when it's not easy to do so. Amen. To our communion service. And the scripture reading today is taken from 1 Corinthians 11. And when I read from verse 23 to 26. And it says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. We are now going to have the blessing, the prayer for the bread and the wine.
Let us reverently kneel as we pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your guidance and your protection and your leadership in our lives, Lord. You are so good to us that you have been providing the physical food that we need. But you found out that the physical food alone cannot sustain us, that we need the spiritual food. That's why when you were on this earth, Lord, you met the disciples around the table. And you asked them to eat of the bread and drink the wine, which is your body and your blood, And this will keep them till you come. Lord, we need the spiritual bread to eat. That's why you are reminding us as a church to come today to eat of the bread, which is your own body that you are presenting to us. And this, your body, is going to keep us, sustain us spiritually and protect us from the devil. We are pleading with you, Lord, to lay your mysterious healing hands upon us and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. As we eat of this bread today, Lord, let your Holy Spirit continue to dwell upon us. Keep reminding us that we are yours, that we will live a dedicated life for you. You will lead us all through to eternity. Thank you for offering your body as a living bread for us, so we may not hunger anymore. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us on Calvary. For we have prayed in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Gracious God, you who created the heavens and the earth and created each one of us, we come thankful that you have offered us a Savior who let his own blood be spilled at Calvary, shed for me and for all who believe, that we might have life and might have it more abundantly, and that we might have it eternally spent with Jesus. We ask you, as we partake of the cup this morning, the cup that symbolizes that spilled blood, we ask you to bless this juice, that as we partake of it, we may accept again into our hearts and lives the very life of Jesus. Bless this service today. Bless each one gathered here today. Bless us as we partake of these elements unto eternal life, when we will, in the kingdom of God, in heaven itself, share this meal again with Jesus. In his name, amen.